The opinions expressed in our talk shows are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Good morning and welcome to The Business of Living, the show that brings you strategies and practical solutions for managing your life and career. I'm your host, Scott Ventrella, and I'm here with a special guest, Tevis Trower. Good morning, Tevis.
Hi, Scott.
Tevis is the principal and founder of Balance Integration. And Tevis, we are only several days from another new year, 2012. And so today's theme is New Year, New You. Tell us, first of all, about your company, Balance Integration.
Well, Scott, first of all, thanks for having me here today. Balance came to be based on exactly that question, not just new year, new you, but really the question, how do I bring out my best me at every moment, 24/7, 9 to 5? It's such a pertinent thing as we look at what's going on with the economy, what's going on with the world, to really ask ourselves, how do we bring our best self into every single action and situation? And my company came to be around 10 years ago. I was in corporate America. I was working at AOL Time Warner, and looking around me, it was a highly, highly troubled time.
Was this right after 9/11?
It was actually right before.
Right. Oh, so good time to launch a new business, Tevis.
Dot-com explosion. Everything was going down the tubes, and the panic within the markets was huge. Yeah, brilliant time to start a business.
No fear.
Yeah, no fear, fearless. But what happened was I looked around me, and in the midst, the company that I was in, I think it had three presidents within 6 months. I mean, within the economy and within the company itself, there was a lot of uncertainty. And I just looked around me, and I noticed that there were folks amongst us who were really offset in terms of their clarity and ability to navigate and make choices to deal with sudden shifts within a business relationship. And there were folks who really struggled with that and expressed a lot of fear and uncertainty. And then I noticed that there were other folks who, curiously, seemed to be in the exact same environment, but yet managed to stay very grounded and very clear about what mattered and have that clarity help them to steer without really losing themselves or burning out.
Is that a personality trait that some people have that ability, other people don't?
That, I think, is the million-dollar question, Scott, which is why you and I do what we do. I'm gambling on the bet that, yes, some of us probably are taught these skills from folks within our family, within our community from a very young age. I do believe in the neuroplasticity of the human brain, though, and I believe that we are ultimately learning creatures, and we can learn these skills. And proof of that is that we continue to evolve as a species. Science, arts, and literature are proof that the human psyche can evolve. So I'm placing all my bets on that.
So here we go. You know, we roll around to a new year, and every year, and I think a lot of our listeners, maybe you, maybe me, good chance that most folks, I think this is a time to reevaluate, reassess, you know, how have I lived 2011? Am I better off today than I was a year ago? And as I look at 2012, what should I be thinking about? Now, unfortunately, I don't want to go negative here, but a lot of the studies indicate that most people do make resolutions, big and small. But generally, within the first
yeah,
month, 2 weeks into January, and they go, they fall off the wagon, so to speak. So, is there hope? Can that be changed, or should we be making resolutions at all?
Well, maybe we should be making these resolutions every day, all the time. And I think that when we move into New Year's or a time of really a cogent change moment, I think the most important thing that we can do is to back off and reflect on who it is we want to be. It's one thing to say, I'm going to quit smoking, I'm going to lose that 30 pounds, I'm going to clean out the garage once and for all. It's really another thing to kind of back up and ask ourselves, specifically in midst of the uncertainty that we're talking about, to really ask ourselves, what is it I want to experience in the midst of uncertainty? And what does that mean in terms of the processes I'm going to put in place? So rather than simply having a bunch of boxes that we check, right, that's a very superficial way to approach change. When we ask ourselves, who do I want to be? It's really taking ownership of this sense that all of us are evolving constantly, and all of us make changes constantly that either support our highest good or move us away from that. And how do we take ownership so that it's not just, do I reach for the pack of cigarettes, but really, what kind of person do I want to be as I move through my morning after my coffee, reaching for the pack of cigarettes or not, right? What kind of person is going to make a different choice, and how do I access that as being kind of my bottom line?
So if I could get, we'll get a little bit more granular, because I think this is a very interesting concept. So instead of just saying, like you mentioned earlier, I'm going to lose X number of pounds, I'm going to stop smoking, I'm going to be more fit, I'm going to be a better husband, a better wife, a better friend, it's so on and so forth. It sounds like you're saying something slightly different. And to use maybe, I don't want to change the meaning of your words, but it's really looking at what does my life look like? How does it feel? How do I want to experience life? Let's just drill down a little bit more there.
Yeah,
if you have a concrete example also, that would be helpful.
It's such a great example. I love this quote that's oftentimes attributed to Einstein, but the jury's kind of out. It's really about the problems we experience cannot be solved by the same type of thinking that created them, right? Mm. This is really the bottom line of that. And so when we look at what our lives are comprised of, in so many ways, for so many of us, it's either treading water or fighting fires, right? Or some kind of a combination of both. And in the midst of that, being true to a change is going to be really, really, really tough. For one thing, our brains are built in such a way that we're fighting tasks constantly. So you can hear, this is my finger snapping, right? Your brain is firing constantly with thoughts, opinions, attitudes, thinking past, present, and future. Your brain can only really handle about six of those at once. And with as much that is coming
My brain can only handle like two or three, by the way.
Yeah. Well, then you're smarter than most of us for limiting it. Because most of us, instead of trying to limit that, are really taking on as much as possible. And the media and our technology, our devices, all of that is converging to really put us at a place where the inputs are beyond our bandwidth. Now, what happens, that's one part of the brain. That's really the executive part of the brain, the part of the brain that makes the choices and says, I'm going to put on the turn signal now, right? I'm going to walk into this room. Why did I walk into this room? You know what that moment is like. So there's this other part of the brain that's really all about your safety, right? Am I getting enough sleep? Have I eaten enough, right? Am I slowing down and not panicking, right? And that's the reptilian brain. And what happens is when the executive brain is dealing with too much, that survival brain can't really do what it has to do. And that's when our systems all start to go into shutdown. Now, what does this have to do with New Year, New You, right? Well, it really has to do with the thought that if we just create a bunch of boxes that we're planning on trying to check by the end of February as having been completed, right, we're literally throwing more at the executive brain at a point where the poor survival brain mm-hmm. is not even able to take on all the tasks it already has, much less the tasks it really needs, right? So the notion of backing up and saying, what is it I want for myself this year? It is really akin to a corporation saying, what is our mission? How are we going to get there? How do we redesign what we're about, right? It's really akin to backing up and saying to ourselves, okay, everything I've done up until now has gotten me what it's gotten me. And if I continue to do this, I pretty much know what I'm going to get, right? So until we create a stake in the ground, kind of an operative truth that we're going for that's going to inform every single choice that we make, it's going to be really hard to solve it as being just another task.
So using the, I like the corporate metaphor because the business of living is actually based on the idea that we can, actually there are some well-run businesses that have, let's say, best practices that they utilize to be successful, and that those best practices can be used in our own personal lives with similar kinds of results. So using, just picking up on one of those ideas, the idea of a vision and a mission. So what I think what you're suggesting is maybe start there. Look at the big picture. And I love the idea of reflecting back and saying, okay, well, I've been doing these things and yielding these results. Am I happy with the results? And I may be happy with the results. Earlier in a few weeks back when we were introducing this show, we talked about how some people live in the complacency zone. So the danger there is we may think we're doing okay, but we've grown complacent in a number of areas in our lives. So there is always that danger too. So you may think you're doing okay, but be stuck in the complacency zone.
Yeah, it's so true. So I see that there are really three things that prompt us to say, holy cow, I want more, right? Mm-hmm. Boredom, right? When the complacency moves into a place where we just can't go through the routine one more time. Crisis, right? When something horrible happens, could be a health crisis. It could be 9/11. You brought that up. Or somehow being incredibly inspired. Somehow having a wake-up call that comes to us in a really powerful, positive way. And if we're lucky, we're paying attention and we decide to take action. So this is like that heeding the call. And so many of us, I know this from my own community, so many of us really want more. And it's not just wanting more, right? It's not wanting more stuff. It's not wanting a bigger house, a bigger title. It's wanting better. It's wanting to feel better. It's wanting to feel more alive. And that is the moment you got to move on.
I'm liking that. And if in a few seconds, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, what I'd like to talk about is it's getting off the dime, right? So how can we become motivated or inspired to get off the dime? And is this something we do? We go it alone. So appreciate your thoughts on that as well. When we come back, thank you.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
That moment, we arrived on the scene.
The storm had nearly destroyed the area.
This was our own community. Friends, family, people we grew up with, went to school with, we were there to help.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
They made it down to the storm cellar, but the house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had chainsaws going, and we had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Right here, close to home, in my state.
It was one of those life-changing moments where I realized I am making a difference in these people's lives and mine. I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
You can serve part-time and be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Connecticut National Guard, aired by the Connecticut Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back. Scott Ventrella, 1490 WGCH, and the Business of Living Show. We're talking about New Year, New You, and we're here with Tevis Trower. By the way, if you'd like to call in with a question, 203-661-5051. Tevis, so how do people get off the dime? We're 3 days away. how do we get motivated? And is this something where we have to go it alone?
Such a great question, Scott. So I've worked with people and change paradigms ranging from survivors of 9/11 to people who simply wake up one morning and realize I'm can't live this way anymore. And one of the exercises that we found to be very powerful is to really look at, what is it you're sick of? What is it you're done with? What part of your movie is a chapter you are ready to complete? And really identifying it and owning it and honoring it. So you might be one of the participants in a recent process I created was really wanting to have a lot more energy. She wanted to feel more participatory in life. She wanted to feel more more expansive socially. She wanted to be more active in her community. She had all these things that she really had narrowed in on as being what was her idea of happy, right? So when we looked at that, we had to make a contrast between who she had been, right, and who she wanted to be, and all of this within a context of working a 10-hour day, an hour-long commute, having a husband who was very accustomed to the rhythms and the patterns they had already created, right? And really posing this question of, if this person that she's been has created her success, etc., who is this person that she's evolving into, and how does she make different choices?
And what if you mentioned in this particular example the idea that there's another person in her life or spouse? I would imagine because we live interdependent lives that we may make a choice, a decision to make a change. But what about those around us? What if they like who we are, or they're afraid of what we might become?
Well, change is
scary. Who is this monster that's been created?
Yeah. Why are you getting coaching, as you said to me offline, Scott? It's so true. Change scares us when it happens outside of us. It scares us when it happens within us, and it definitely scares us when it's happening with someone we love. What we have found is that there are various approaches that help someone who wants to step into a new way of being both identify what are those actions going to be, right? Is it going to be a shift in diet? Is it going to be a shift in exercise? Is it going to be a shift in media consumption? Is it going to be a shift in how you socialize? What role alcohol plays or food plays? Or how do we look at what the concrete changes are? And one thing that we found is that when people step into change, it's really important to enroll the key people as best you can in supporting you. The 12-step programs show a great intelligence around our need as social beings to have folks around us who say, yeah, you can do it, you can do it.
It's community-based versus people, let's say, in a less positive kind of a construct where they're saying, oh, come on, it's the, you know, holidays, have just one more, eat a little bit more of this, and don't worry, you look great, don't worry about losing that weight.
Yeah. The subtlety that something as small as us pushing away a cocktail or pushing away the pumpkin pie could be experienced as a threat by someone else, it's pretty absurd, right? Like, when we really think about how small that is and that it's such an isolated action. But the reality is, even something so small can be felt as communicating a message that to others can be oftentimes misinterpreted. And so when we work with folks on how do you navigate even these teeny tiny innocuous shifts that you're making, it is a question of socializing and amongst the people who matter to you, knowing that they may or may not be able to rally behind you, and acknowledging that you may be in for some uncomfortable silences. You may be in for experiencing some isolation, and you may, in fact, end up choosing to not participate in things that once upon a time were a no-brainer. And so really acknowledging that making change is going to be uncomfortable. It's going to make others uncomfortable in a way that you can't predict. And that your best bet is to socialize it as well as you can by enrolling folks. And having some canned responses. I mean, I have seen this with the folks that we've worked with. Some people say, I'm just trying something new. Some people say, I'm saving myself because I just got my blood tests back and they are not good. Some people come try this with me. There are so many strategies, and there's no one strategy, though. So really acknowledging that you're in for some interesting moments.
And I could see how it could require some fairly significant changes in, so let's say in a situation where there's a relationship, a husband, wife, a significant relationship. And so I think of, for instance, people who are smokers, they tend to, I'm generalizing here, yeah. But they tend to, it's very rare where I'll see someone who, completely anti, non-smoker, never smoked their entire life, and they end up with a smoker. That I don't see that often. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I don't see it that often. But what happens if, so you've got two smokers as an example, yeah. and there's a whole lifestyle, I think, that goes along with, I grew up in a smoking, let's say, environment, and so all of a sudden, somebody decides that's the change they're going to make. There's no more smoking. And now, as they're beginning to cleanse and purify themselves, they don't want smoke anywhere in the house. And now what about the other person? They, it's not their choice. They don't want to make that change. They want to be able to smoke, in their house. Now they have to go outside in the cold. And you could do, by the way, this is just smoking as an example, but same thing with food. Hey, I like my steak, and now all of a sudden we're eating tofu. I mean, what's going on here? So how would you deal with that?
That's exactly the truth. This really boils down to the very building blocks of living. Where am I going to smoke my cigarette? What am I going to have to drink?
Where can I hide my, my fat food or my candy and right?
My steak.
My chips.
One of my coaches, she was really brilliant with this because she and her husband had a foodie lifestyle, right? Going out to the finest restaurants in the city was one of their great pleasures and great joys. And what she learned for herself was that she didn't want to give that up. So she had to muster within herself the willpower to make a smarter choice at the fine the Babo or whatever, right? So her strategy was, if I don't want to give up being in those environments, I'm going to just have to have the willpower and courage and intelligence in the moment to look at the menu to say, honey, I'm going to split the steak with you or have a couple bites of your steak, but then I'm going to get these sides that I know are healthier, et cetera. And what happened over the course of about 3 months of this, at first her husband was like, what? You aren't getting an entree? Then he got happy because he wasn't spending as much money.
Right.
But then what happened was they actually started splitting one entree and both getting sides, and both of them started to lose weight and feel better. So it's really about starting to move forward with where you are and deciding what trade-offs are going to work for you.
And respecting, if there are other people involved, and often there are, it's respecting where they are and not selfishly just going down. Because some people get so fanatical and they leave everybody in the dust, right?
And that's really one of the folks who participated in a program that we created. At the very start of the program, he said in front of the room, I want a drastic change. And he was the one who gave up. He said, I want a drastic change. He went straight from having a hamburger and french fry diet, right? That was his sustenance that he shared with his beloved. And he went straight from that to juicing almost every meal. Well, it didn't work. It didn't work because it wasn't a change he could socialize, and it wasn't actually something that could satisfy his body making that huge of a leap. So there's a lot to be said about both how you ask your community to support you and what you're asking of yourself and of them.
So some people, coming full circle on this whole idea of the New Year's resolutions, New Year, New You, some people emerge victorious.
Yep.
Many people do not accomplish what they had set out to accomplish. They give up, to use your words. What are the cogent differences between the two? why do some people, you know, carry on? And maybe you answered that, but, you know, through the community, et cetera. But why do some people seem to be able to, you know, press on and other people just, that's it. I tried it. Didn't work.
Yeah.
I'm going back to my steak and fries.
The studies have shown that that one of the most important things is choosing a point of inspiration, right? Something that you're going to go to when the going gets rough and they're passing around the tequila shots or whatever. Having a point of truth, right? Whether it's remembering that someone who's close to you has overcome a huge issue, right? That's a very, very, very important attribute. Another thing is the community. We've been talking about that. The third thing that I really see is outlining both outcome goals and process goals. So knowing that there's going to be an outcome that you're looking to, but then really identifying the processes of how you're going to get there. The fourth thing is metrics. How do you measure and how do you reward? How do you give yourself that hug, that pat on the back to say, oh, my God, I went to that party and I only had 2 glasses of wine and I drank water for the rest of the night? Or, oh, my gosh, I literally had 3 nights at home taking care of myself this week. For so many of us, that's the breakthrough.
And sometimes it's the small, the baby steps, right?
Exactly.
So, Tevis, tell me, you work with both individuals and groups. Tell me a little bit about some things you've got coming up. Is it mostly with individuals, or do you do group work as well?
Well, I'm secretly a yoga teacher on the side, but don't tell anyone, Scott.
No, just it's between you and I, and of course, Bob.
And Bob, and whoever's listening. So I am really fortunate because I get to go into best practice corporations and share these tools. I also teach yoga in New York City. I'll be offering a workshop I'm super excited about. It's called Live Your Passion 9-to-5 and 24/7 at Yoga Works Soho on the 7th, so right on the tail end of the new year. It's going to be a 4-hour experience that will get people moving, so you should definitely come in some comfortable clothes, but also get people moving from the inside out, really thinking about who is it that you want to be this year and what are you going to do to align your actions to make that happen.
Tevis, thank you so much. The time went too fast. We need another half an hour at least. This is Scott Ventrella speaking with Tevis Trower. She is the president and founder of Balance Integration. Tevis, thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you for joining me today. Remember, you only have one life. Why not live it on purpose? This is Scott Ventrella for the Business of Living show here on 1490 WGCH. Thank you.